Amen. Take your Bibles, Psalm 34. Psalm 34.
Man, it's been a good night of worship so far, isn't it? Amen. Some of you, I'll tell your face you're happy. But that's okay. I know I'm in the north, that's okay. We still love you. I just want to go on record. I love Jesus. And so, man, I had a great time this morning. Pastor Darren, thank you for letting me come. And we love Fairhaven Baptist Church. And to be here, I got to be honest with you. I still don't know why I'm here. But I praise the Lord for the opportunity to preach His Word. And I do know this, the Word of God will change your life if you let it. And we've done, I'm trying to like get into issues and different things like that tonight, but I think a major problem that we have in our independent, fundamental, Baptist, sin, hate, sinner, loving, bona fide, Satan kicking, Christian trashing churches is that we have for a long time gone to our opinions. And we have left the Word of God. And opinions will change, and they will differ, and they will cause confusion. But God is not the author of confusion. The Word of God will not return void, and that's why we must preach the Word of God. Tonight I have a simple thought. I was reading through Psalm 34. We're going to read the whole Psalm. Now I'm not going to preach the whole Psalm. Although it would be fun to have a Eutychus moment tonight. We need a volunteer to sit on the balcony edge. And then we'll see if Pastor Dameron can bring him back to life. Amen. And if not, I'm sorry. All right. I want to preach a message tonight. The Lord sees you. The Lord sees you. I want to encourage you. 51 years. Wow. Y'all have been around a while. And some of you are here, you were here from the beginning. And that's a testimony to your faithfulness. And I am excited to celebrate with you. But I want to encourage you. I want to be a challenge to you. And we're praying the Holy Spirit of God will convict where necessary. But when we walk out of here, I want you to understand the Lord sees you. It's not... I think sometimes we get in our own heads, well, the Lord just doesn't know my situation. And that's where you're wrong. He does. He sees right where you're at. He knows right where you are, and you are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. And I want to point out some things tonight, and we're going to read Psalm 34. This is a great psalm. It begins in verse number 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I praise the Lord for salvation. I praise the Lord for the folks that experienced salvation for the first time this morning. Amen. They were brought up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set of feet. Their feet were set upon the rock, Jesus Christ Himself. And today He put a new song in their mouth, and they are going to be a different person. Amen. I praise God for His Word. I can go to His Word and I can be cleansed and I can be strengthened and I can know that my God has something for me. I love the Word of God. 66 books He's given us. Now the Bible tells us that the world could not contain the whole that God knows. All right, I'm not very smart. Y'all already know that. And there's no balcony tonight. Ha ha ha. And so, I'm not real bright, but there are a few things that I've learned. All right, so, the Bible tells us that God created everything, right? We all know that. Everybody see me? All right, can you hear me? That's all that matters. All right, there we go. All right, so, I've been told a couple times this week that I didn't see you standing there. I'm like, wow. Thank you. That's the first time I ever heard that. But the Bible tells us that the world cannot contain the whole of what God knows. The Bible tells us that He created the stars also. I love that because He planned everything, right? He was like, I got the sun, I got the moon. Oh, and the stars. He created the stars also. It was just kind of a side thought, like a parenthetical of like, hey, you know what? This would be real nice. So when they get the Hubble, when they actually figure that out and they start sending it into space, they're going to find, they're going to see the eye of God, and they're going to start finding all these different galaxies, and they're going to see all these neat things. Now, the Bible also tells us that God knows all the stars by name. Wow. So according to somebody smarter than me, there are stars 10 to the 17th power. Now, I don't know, you would probably know what that is, that word. It's 17 zeros after a 10. I don't know what illion that would be, but I think it's a lot illion. All right, that's a whole bunch. All right, so 10 to the 17th power. Now, he knows them by name. So somebody just started getting this great idea to start writing out and all this kind of stuff, and they start figuring things out. If you take a book that's an inch and a half wide, set it spine to spine, of all the names of all the stars, it would wrap around the earth 4.5 times. That's just the stars. And now the Bible tells us, at the judgment throne, there are going to be books, and the books were opened. And the Lamb's book of life was opened. All right, so let's take Brother Ramus. All right, right here. How old are you, Brother Ramus?
45.
All right, so 45 years, that's a lot of days. Right? So here he is. He gets to stand before God. God opens his books. So if we take there's a lot that can happen in a 24-hour period, right? And the Bible tells us that God knows the very hairs on our head. On Brother Ramus's day 3, 154 hairs fall out. 17 grew on the brow. Right? And so here it is, these record books. And so now you say 45 or 49? 45. Oh, okay, you're not that old. You just look old. Amen. All right, so here it is. So 45 years, think about how many books that can be written about his life in 45 years if we chronicle everything he did for his entire life. Every idle word, every action, good or bad. Now, how many books do you think that could contain? Well, I heard, your mom said, that he was a bad little kid. He was getting whooped all the time. And so there will probably be a lot of books from that 3 to 45, all right? All right? And so here it is. So just, now that's just one person. So if we take everybody in this congregation, think about the books that can be written on every single word you've ever said in your entire life, all the things you've ever done. God knows it all.
Amen.
Now, times 8 billion. Think about books. See, the knowledge of God cannot be put into a book. The world cannot contain the whole. That's our God.
Amen.
And I'm excited that's my God. And so his praise ought to be continually on my tongue. It's in my mouth, and I praise him. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, the fear of the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Does that remind you of a verse? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Now, I know y'all probably, all right. Can we do a timeout real quick? Right. Y'all are probably not used to interacting. It helps me. All right. And so unless you're going to like punch me in the face, and then there's Brother Ramos, all right? So he's just got that face, right? And so here, if I leave a pause like that and you know it, shout it at me, all right? And so, but here it says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. My trust is not in myself. It's not about us. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. Oh, we already read that one, I'm sorry. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Man, there's a recipe right there for a good life. Hey, young people, you don't need to go to... You do not have to go to the world to try to find something that's going to make you happy. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ satisfies completely. Stop trying to go to the world. See, I get, and y'all just going to have to bear with me. Time out moment. Y'all got to bear with me because see, I love sharing my testimony now. Because you can kind of see where I came from, why I think the way I do. I get a little frustrated when people that have grown up in Christian homes and have been given everything, every opportunity and everything right before them, and they take it and you're like, you have no clue what the world would do to you until you get out there and you find yourself in the pig pen. They rip you apart. Listen, I didn't find a friend when I was sitting in the cooler trying to kill myself. I didn't find anybody coming in trying to find me and say, hey, stop it. Oh, but I found Jesus. And I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The world never did that for me. They left me hanging time and time and time again. And you think that, well, I'm just going to get out there and sample it. You don't sample it. It's not a sampling. See, the world operates this way, all or nothing. And when you put your toe in to see if it's nice, they're ready to drag you in. And sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Mark it down. Ask Samson when we get to heaven. A man that had everything. Plucked his eyes out. Milling. I mean, I don't, that doesn't sound like much fun. And here he was. Common animal. Young people, please hear me. The world's got nothing for you. When I turned from the world at 21 years old and trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have experienced life and life more abundant. I've got a well inside of me that's springing into everlasting life. And man, I tell you what, I'm living. Honestly, I say this, I'm living the dream. Because, I get to talk about Jesus to all y'all here tonight. And you know, when I go to Walmart, I see Kevin, the greeter. He came to our church. We led him to the Lord. I see Kevin. I'm like, Kevin! He's like, Pastor. I'm like, Jesus! And people are like, huh? What is that guy? I walk in with, y'all need Jesus. I had a lady, she looked at me. She goes, I like your shirt. I said, I do too, but do you know him? And she just looked at him. She goes, oh, I trusted him. And it's so good. Amen. See, stop dabbling in the world. See, what you're trying to do is take Christ and the world and put them together, and they can't coexist, and so then it doesn't work. So then you're just miserable all around. If you actually get in on Jesus, he will satisfy completely, and you shall not want. Hey, man. That's good preaching right there. You should preach on that, Pastor Dameron. But this is where I want to get to. Verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. We preached on that this morning. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. And watch this. We see that on a daily basis. Just pay attention. Just pay attention to the next rock star that's got it all, got everything, and it kills himself. Robin Williams make everybody laugh, and yet he is struggling. And listen, I'm not knocking on him. He needed Jesus. But he found his identity in making people laugh. And when the crowd left, he was still there holding all his issues. The Lord, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I want to use three verses out of this passage of Scripture, and I want to illustrate it with Scripture. All right? And so you just bear with me for just a little bit, and I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll try to get out of here before Eutychus falls. Amen. All right? So let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the worship that we've been able to be a part of tonight. God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me to pull me up out of the miry pit. Now this evening, Lord, please speak to us. Father, we're going to open your word. Christ, we're going to exalt you. We're going to magnify you. We're going to lift you up. Draw us to yourself tonight. Holy Spirit, descend on us tonight as the rain, saturating our hearts through the word of God, cleansing us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first verse that I want to take a look at, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. But then in verse number 17, and this is where I want you to see, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord see you. All right, and we're going to illustrate that. But in verse number 17, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Now, if you take your Bible, we're going to illustrate that verse. Verse number 17, we're going to illustrate that with Mark chapter number 6. We're going to illustrate verse 17 with Mark chapter number 6. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter number 6, this is the feeding of the 5,000. Now, what a day that was. They got the 5,000 there. Now that tells, the Bible tells us that that's 5,000 men. Now that does, and here there's speculation, all this, that, and the other, and you can speculate all you want. I'm just going to stick with the number 5,000. That's a lot of people to feed. It's interesting. They come to Jesus and they're like, oh, how are we going to do this? 100 penny worth? Is that going to be able to do it? And he tells them, he says, go see what you have. They come to him giving excuses before the work even begins. They come to him like, we're not going to be able to do this. And he says, just go see what you have and let's see what happens. They come and they bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, so basically they bring, some fish sandwiches. Amen. It's a lad's lunch. I wonder what kind of fish it was. You ever wonder that? I probably wouldn't have eaten it. Just being honest. What kind of bread is that? Is that rye or is that white? I want white, please, with butter. And I'd like that fish smoked, please. But here it is. The guy, Christ takes it and he then gives it to the disciples and they disperse it. And this miracle is done. Wow, it's amazing. Then what I find is interesting. After the miracle of feeding of the 5,000, he comes in and he tells them, everybody ate and they were all full. And then in verse number, and when he had sent them, verse 46, it says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. Now, who did he send away? Verse 45, he constrained his disciples to get into a boat and go out into the sea. He said, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and I'm going to go to the mountain to pray. Now, this is kind of a normal thing for Christ. He would often resort to the mountain to pray. But I was just reading this passage of scripture and it just opened up to me. I'm like, I'd never seen this before. It says he departed into the mountain, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he was alone on the land. Now, read with me the next three verses. And at verse number 48, sorry, y'all are probably trying to figure out where I'm at. Verse number 48, and he saw. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Here it is, Jesus sends them in this boat, constrains them, get into the boat. They get out into water, all right? He's there and he sees them. He sees them. He's in the mountain praying, and he sees them. It's about to get gooder. He saw them toiling. Jesus is there in the mountain watching them toil. Point number one, the Lord sees your struggle. He's there in that mountain. What's he doing in the mountain? Help me. Praying. I cannot help but think when he sees them toiling, he is interceding on their behalf. Because we know that the Son is interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father now. He is there interceding for you and for me. And so he's there and he sees them in their struggle. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch, he came unto them. Hey, let me help you to this. When you are in need, Jesus will come to you. But I love this. This brother, this kind of threw me for a loop. I don't know if you ever get thrown for a loop. I mean, I know you teach in the Bible college and probably some great expositor, core. How do you say it? That? All right. I'm not. I get thrown for loops all the time. I'm like, hey, you should probably ask that guy. But it says, and he came unto them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. He's walking out there. They're struggling over here. And he would have passed by them. But he doesn't. He stops. And what does it say? And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. What did verse number 17 say? He hears their cry. Sometimes you and I don't know what we need. You and I are just struggling to stay on boat. We're just trying to stay in and not be thrown overboard. We don't know what's going on. We don't understand what's going on around us. All I know is I'm in the midst of a storm and I'm toiling and I'm toiling and I'm toiling. And the Lord sees your struggle. And he is saying, hey, I see you and I hear your cry. And he turns unto them and he says to them, this is amazing to me. And he saw that they were troubled. And he looks at them and he says, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. Hey, I don't know what your struggle is right now, but you're in a storm and you're toiling and all you can see is what is ahead of you, and we're just not going to make it through this. Let me help you. The Lord wants to come nigh, but you've got to cry out. Hey, stop trying to rationalize it. Stop trying to find a solution. Stop trying to figure it out and say, I need you. And he comes alongside and he says, yes, you're struggling, but I'll strengthen you. Put my yoke on. It's easy. I know you're weary. Let me help carry you. But we keep struggling, 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 struggling. And what happens? We quit. You're like, well, it's just easier if I just go the way of the world. Oh, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when you give in, the way of the transgressor is hard. You might be struggling right now. Y'all got some change. Can we do a timeout moment? Don't worry about the outside world. Who cares what they think? This is your church. And he's your Lord. Get busy serving him. Well, I'm struggling. I don't see him. Then cry out. Time in. Cry out to the Lord. His eyes are on you. He sees you. He is there interceding on your behalf. And you say, well, I just don't know what to pray. Hey, let me help you. The Holy Spirit is there interpreting your groans. The Holy Spirit takes it down. He needs food. Give him some of that honey. He's about to die. And his eyes are enlightened. Amen. But the Lord sees you. Young people that know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, watch this. The Lord sees you. And you're struggling. You're toiling. And you say, I can't keep doing this. Can I help you with something? You're going about it all wrong. You're trusting in your ability. You're trusting in your effort. And we've got to be leaning and trusting on His ability and His effort. Hey, you and I, listen, I love, what is it? His grace is sufficient. That divine enabling is there when you're struggling. But I'm struggling, so I'm just going to throw everything out the window. That's not how it works. When I'm struggling, I run to the Word of God.
Amen. Come on.
And I get strength. I get clarity. I find God's will here. I find a solace.
Amen.
I don't understand the storm. I don't understand it all. I cannot, listen, I can't explain everything that has happened and Tracy and I, we've been through some stuff. I can't explain it all outside of the fact that God took us through things that were there to build us and strengthen us so that we could go farther for Him. I'm excited for the ladies to be able to hear her. Man, she's going to give you one principle, young ladies, that will help you in your walk with the Lord. I don't want to spoil it. Everyone else is like, what? You'll have to go to her session. Sorry. I'm not going to say it the way she's going to say it. But do you know that God wants to bless you? God wants, listen, the goodness of the Lord leads to the repentance. I can't tell you how many times I've sinned, and God all of a sudden, He's like, here, I still love you, and I'm not going to let you go. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, and I've come back unto Him. See, we've got a wrong idea of God, that He's waiting for you to step out of line so He can whack you. That is not my God. My God is a loving God. He is a compassionate God. He is a God that sent His Son to die on the cross for my sin, and He wants to reconcile unto me. And when I'm struggling, He wants to send His agent, the Word of God, to help me and reveal Himself to me. And He comes and embraces me. I can't explain it. But we all struggle, don't we? So next time you're struggling, remember the Lord sees you. And He hears your cry. Cry unto Him. So we see our first illustration in Mark chapter number 6. In verse number 18 it says, and we're going back to Psalm 34. So the first thing the Lord sees you is in your struggle. And something else you can add to that, when you're scared. Taking steps of faith. Scary at times. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perfect love casteth out all fear. It might be scary. But His eyes are on you. He sees you. He knows your struggle. He's got you right there. We need to run to Him, not away from Him. But then we see in verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth them, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We're going to illustrate this in Luke chapter number 24. In verse number 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went unto them, and their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." Now watch this. "And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are," what's that word? The Lord sees their countenance. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He saw their struggle. But He sees their sadness. We are in this day. We can't explain what's going on in our society. It's incredible. I don't think we've ever seen anything. At least I know in my lifetime I have not seen anything. But you know, death is commonplace. It's all over the news. We want to fear you into these things. And so all we do is talk about death all the time. And we get all the stories. I'm not belittling death. Listen, we have got to learn to deal with grief. We've got to learn to, death is part of that, but we grieve. And here it is, Jesus is, he came and He's the one that, he's bringing in His kingdom. He is the Messiah. He's going to establish it. We are going to be a part of His kingdom. And this is what we're going to do. And His disciples were not paying attention very well when he was trying to teach them. But one of my favorite passages is when Jesus was talking with Peter and He says, "Peter, Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Jesus knew what struggle He was about to go through. Jesus knew the sadness that He was about to be experiencing. After he denied Jesus, it has been, historians tell us that Peter, every time the rooster would crow in the morning, he would weep. Remembering what he did. These two are, Cleopas is one of them. We're going to see that in just a moment. They're on this road to Emmaus. They are now saddened. Jesus is dead. And he's not in the tomb. Now, I find this interesting because they start talking and Jesus comes up to them and he comes up alongside them. They begin talking and he says, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? All right, here we are. All right, so here Jesus, remember Jesus? When he would have passed by them, he's now dealing with them and he's like, what things? What are you talking about? Did Jesus know what they were talking about? He starts to hear it for himself. He starts letting them. Watch this. Hold on. I believe that this is a process of bringing them out of sadness. See, the we're going to see right here. They knew what they believed. They knew deep down that Jesus was the Messiah and that he said he would raise again, but they needed some help. And they began to tell him, he said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet mighty in deed and word and before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to condemn him to death and crucified him. But we trusted that that it had been he which should redeem Israel. They start showing their mentality. They start showing of like, we're not sure that we really know what we believe now because, he was the one that was supposed to deliver us. But then in verse number 22, it says, yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and they found not the body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? He then begins where the next, watch this, this is amazing to me. It said, back over here, it says it is 70 furlongs. That's a furlong is about an eighth of a mile. They're about to walk between 7-8 miles. It's going to take between 2 and 3 hours. They're going to be walking together. And Jesus then begins to speak with them concerning himself, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So for 2 hours, he's talking about himself. And what happens? I want you to see the difference. I want you to see the change. I want you to see what did we start out in? We started out in their sadness. And everything that they believed has been called into question. Are we not seeing that today? Like, oh, your God's not really real. And you know, the problem, one of the problems that I'm seeing today is that Christians don't have a prayer life and they've not had real answers to prayer and they've not seen God do anything in their life. And so they have to look at it and say, well, I don't know if my God's real or not. I'm sorry, but I've seen God deliver. He delivered me. We got a young lady sitting right over there, and her name is Taylor. Back in February, we were able to lead her to the Lord. She's now 8 months clean. Praise God. Hey, who does that? The only one that is able, our Redeemer. I know my God's real. I've seen him provide. I've watched him. I've watched him do miracles. Things that were impossible. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to limit God where God hadn't limited himself. I don't care what the world says. They can say whatever they want about my God. I know my God's real. And one day they're going to stand before that God. I was at Walmart one day. I hate Walmart. It's a love-hate relationship. But yeah, I was standing at Walmart and there's a lady in front of me. And right down her forearm is "Only God Can Judge Me." I went over to her and I said, "Hey, that's true." And she looked at me, "Excuse me?" I said, "Your tattoo. It's true." And she goes, "I know." I said, "And he will." She said, "Excuse me?" "And he will." See, there's going to be a day that you may not believe my God is real, but you're going to stand and give an account. And I'm not going to be proven wrong. Because I'm going to be standing before the same God. And here it is, as they're going through this, everything's been called into question, everything, they're not sure what it is. And then, well, who did they start talking about? Jesus. They're sad, and the eyes of the Lord were on them. He saw their sadness, and he begins to walk with them. "Fools, come on over here with me. You're slow of heart. Let me start showing you myself." And he begins to show them. He begins to spend time with them. He begins to do a work in their heart. And what happens? They get to their house and they constrain him to come in. And I love it. It says he would have gone farther. It's almost like Jesus is messing with them. Like giving them opportunity to turn to him, getting them opportunity to explain what they're thinking, and he gives you and I the same opportunity. And when they said, "Oh no, constrain him." Now remember, Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the boat. Now the disciples are constraining Jesus to come in. And he comes in and he sits. This is amazing to me. Jesus invites them in. I don't know what the custom is. Maybe Dr. Vogelin here can help us with the custom. But the next thing that we read is that Jesus is serving them. I didn't think the guests were the host. Oh, they invited Jesus in. He begins to serve them. He begins to meet their need. And notice what their need was. They needed to see him. His eyes were on them, but then when he took that bread and broke it and blessed it, their eyes were open and they saw him. Now, I want you to notice this. Why did they constrain him to come in? Because the day was far spent. They had just spent 2-3 hours walking 7-8 miles. They are now come to their house and we find that they're meeting with Jesus. And this is what they say when Jesus walked away: "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Oh, he sees your sadness, but when you spend time with him and his word, he gives a burning in our heart. And I begin to see him like I never saw him before. I begin to see him in that eye, the eye of the victory that he has given to you and I. I don't have to live a defeated life. I don't have to be sad. I don't have to go through this world hanging my head down. When we start singing praises in church, I'm just going to encourage you, beloved. You ought to lift your head up, smile on your face, even if it's against your personality, and praise our God. See, we've got to come to a point to where I know we've got sadness, and he sees you. But when you spend time with him, he puts a burning in our heart. Where else do we see that? In Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "I'm done. Nobody's listening." He said, "I'm not going to speak of him anymore." And he said, "Oh, I could not stay because it was burning in my bones." Is it burning in your bones? Or are you just like, eh? We're going to church. Hey, y'all get a lot of preaching here. I mean, there was a lot of preaching in the service tonight. Brother Brady preached. Brother Smith preached. I'm preaching. Like five messages. Y'all get a lot of Bible here. Can I help you with this? You've got to come to every opportunity you get to hear the Word of God and ask God right here, right now, speak to my heart. Because if you hold it all up for the rest of the week, you're going to miss out. You're not going to know. Like, y'all have got like 17 preaching times in the week. That's awesome. That's great. Almost more preaching time than soccer. Almost. Like, what in the world? It was like, we love soccer. No, we don't. Yeah, I was looking at him. I'll leave it alone, Michael. I'll leave it alone. We'll talk to your dad about it. Yeah, we got to talk about Michael. All right. But here it is. Man, the Lord spent time with them, and they're burning, and the day was far spent. And guess what they did? They went all the way back 7-8 miles. I think it went a little bit quicker than 2 or 3 hours. They were ready for the work. They saw Jesus, and they went and told everybody, hey, we saw him. And now this is what's amazing to me. I love this application. Where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst. This is what he tells them. And this is what scripture says. He went back and they started telling him everything that he had done. And a heart burned within us, and it was amazing. And then Jesus shows up to the other disciples. And he shows himself to them. Hey, all it would take to see a revival in this church is a handful of people to get it. And the Lord will show up. Amen. And he will turn our sadness and our struggle into a burning in our hearts to be with him. And that brings us to our final passage. In Psalm 34, he tells us that his servants will not be desolate. He will not leave his servants desolate. I love this. In Acts chapter number 7, we find the deacons being given to us. Stephen is there. He's full of the Holy Spirit, of good report. But I really like what happens next. In Acts, and we're almost done. Hopefully you are okay. If you start twitching, Dr. Vogelin, you can go help him, all right? So, you don't have a medical doctor, but you're a doctor, so. Oh, there's Dr. Mitchell over there, too. He can probably just step on them, you know. Hark! Oh, there's Dr. Swangum, too. Like, kick him in the foot or something. I don't know. Like, hey, this works. Any other doctors in the house? Brother Ramus? Browology? But I love this. Stephen in chapter number 7, he's there and he's getting after it and he's preaching. And he's preaching a toe stomper. And they forgot their steel toe sandals. Because he's getting after it and he said, you are the ones that crucified him. I think Stephen was from southern Jerusalem. He'd have had a little southern drawl to him. You! I don't want you! Hanky time. It says in verse number 54, chapter number 7 of Acts, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. The word of God will pierce because it is sharper than a two-edged sword and divides asunder. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And? Come on, come on, come on. And? Jesus. read through the rest of the passage right there, and Stephen proclaims, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw Jesus.
See, I want you to notice here that we see that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous in their struggle. We see that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous in their sadness. But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous in their service. See, you and I are not serving Pastor Dameron. You're not serving Dr. Vogeland. You're not serving Pastor Armacost. You are here serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look steadfastly unto Him.
I serve for an audience of one.
It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Why? Because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. That's where I've gotten to in my life. I don't care what other people think. I'm to praise Jesus. I know I go a little crazy on it. I know I get a little excited. I know I get a little hanky-waving every now and then. I know I sweat a whole lot praising Jesus.
I don't care what anybody else thinks. Because I've got a thrice holy God that saved me and redeemed me and set me into His service. And I'm going to march forward. I've got my eyes on Him, but the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous because the Lord's looking down and sees them. Now watch this. Everywhere else we find in the Scripture where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, He's sitting. Except with Stephen. He's standing looking at Him. And when Stephen saw Jesus, he responded like Jesus. Put this not to their charge. They don't know what they do. And he went to sleep. See, the reality is this. You and I will act like Christ if we get our eyes off of one another and on Jesus. You and I, in our struggle, will not act like the world if we get our eyes on Jesus. In our sadness, if we get our eyes on Him, we won't turn to the things this world tries to medicate us with. The eyes of the Lord are on you. He sees your struggle. He sees you're scared. He sees your sadness. But He is there looking on you in your service. It is high time for us to see Jesus. Stop. And listen, I'm not against goals. I know we got goals and all that. We saw great and mighty things today. If one person turned to Jesus, it's worth it all. But several turned to Jesus today. How about we stop and we praise the Lord? And oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise God for what He's doing. Stop looking around you. Don't look to others. Stop comparing yourself amongst yourself. Get after your bus route and get serving the Lord and find that kid that needs Jesus and point them to Jesus and teach them to see Jesus. And if you can do that, we will be able to stand. What does the Scripture tell us in Psalm 34? Our faces will not be ashamed. I'll be able to stand and give an account, and I'll be able to have my head up of, I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I fix my eyes on You. I got a vision of Your face, and I see You. Oh, that we would see our Savior tonight, because He sees you.
That's right.
His eyes are on you.
Amen.
In your struggle, turn to Him. In your sadness, turn to Him. In your service, turn to Him. God, I thank You for this night. I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. I thank You for